Christ. So if we can all turn to our, take our Bibles out and turn to Exodus 15, 1 through 17. Now, I've been going through Romans, the book of Romans, and my last five or so, seven messages have been out of Romans, but the Lord spoke to me something a little bit different on this past week. So let's read Exodus 15, 1 through 17. KJV, it reads, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host have he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thy excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright in a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue you. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank and led. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious and holiest, in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretch out thy hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in the strength of unto thy holy habitation. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thy inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established." I want to speak to you today on the topic of holiness. Yes, holiness. Now, some of you right away may say, well, this is not the message for me. Or, I can't be holy. Or, I'm not holier than thou. I swore I'd never be one of those holier than thou people. Or, I can't stand people who act that way or act holy. Only God is perfect and holy and so forth. But I want to encourage you this morning that none of that is true. All of that is further from the truth. I want to encourage you to not tune out, stay in your seats, and hear me out. This is your message. In fact, the title of this message is Holiness is for Everyone. I want to cover holiness. I want to cover the who is holy, what is holiness, when is holiness expected of me, why is holiness for everyone, and how is holiness for everyone. So the who, what, when, why, and how of holiness. So who is holiness for? Holiness is for everyone. It's like I just said in the title. It's expected of God, of everyone. What is holiness? We're going to get to that in a hot second. When is holiness expected of me? Immediately. As soon as you are saved and become a part of the body of Christ, holiness is expected of you. Why? Holiness is for everyone. Because it pleases God. And it makes one acceptable to God. And how is holiness for everyone? Holiness is for everyone because it's a command of God for us to be holy. So as I go through these who, what, when, why, and how, it's not going to be a sequence, but I have a lot of scripture here, and we're going to go through the scripture, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to sequence it in each of our hearts individually, okay, as we do this together. So let's start like I often like to do, and I like to define words so that we can really have a nice foundation and understand where it is that we're going and what we're talking about. So, how is holiness defined? Holiness is defined as apartness, holiness, sacredness, separateness, apartness of God, sacredness of God, holiness of God. Now, the apartness and the sacredness and the holiness of God is pretty self-explanatory, but we're not going to take it for granted that everybody understands that, and we're going to go into it a little bit deeper. But it's defined also as apartness and sacredness and holiness of places, such as tabernacles, different ground areas set apart because of certain experiences or at that particular place, and most notably because of the presence of God in or around that place. Churches, those are places that are designated and we call holy. We see this twice in scripture. In Exodus 3:5, we see it says, "And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And in Joshua 5:14-15, it says, "And he said, nay, but as captain of the most, as the host, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off of thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. Now, we have also apartness and sacredness and holiness of things, such as the name or names of God. Those are sacred. The tithe is sacred. Leviticus 27:30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The Sabbath is holy." Exodus 20:8 tells us, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." We know that God worked 6 days. He created the heavens and the earth and all creation. And on the seventh day, he rested. So he sanctified that and set aside that seventh day for us to rest and to keep it holy. Sex is holy. Hebrews 13 and 4. It says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. These are things that are holy. It's the reason as to why marriage is called holy matrimony. And that's because God has put a man and a woman together and sanctified, set them apart from the rest of the men and the women that abide on this earth. And their love, their emotion, their activities that they do, everything that they are, they become one. And they're set apart, and they're set sanctified, and they're made holy, so that all the activities and all the things that they do is a representation of how God, of God, is a representation of God. All that we do in marriage and out of marriage as parts of the body of Christ, we represent the Lord. And because He is holy, we have to be holy. Marriage is holy. We just went through that a little bit. Matthew 19 and 6 says, wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Human life is holy. John 3:16. I love this one, and we all know this one pretty good. But it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see how fast I said that? Because I know that I got that deep down in me. I learned that as a little boy, and most of us have. But I never really did look at it like I looked at it last night. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave His Son for us. He gave the biggest sacrifice that could have ever been given. He shed blood for us. He paid a the most high cost for us to be saved. For us to be sanctified, for us to become a part of Him. Remember again, we can't abide in Christ, or we can't abide in God and be filthy. You know, He's holy. Every inch, every ounce of Him. And if we're going to be a part of the body of Christ, then we have to be holy. So, this is just a reminder right here that His love for the world is why we ought to be holy. You are holy. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light. So that goes back to called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light, the when part. That covers the when part of holiness. When do I start being holy? Or how much time do I have to be holy? A lot of people, you know, they want more time. They want all the time that they can to party and have a good time and solve some issues out that they got going on and just do their thing before they feel like they have to just give up everything and life is just going to turn into a heap of trash, right? It's not going to be like they used to. But understand that it's better on the other side than it is on this side. And He calls you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. That means that you became a new creature. He called you out of darkness. So as soon as you came out of darkness and you came into light, everything is exposed. Everything is made new. You see differently. You should see differently. You should understand differently. And all of that should cause you to behave differently and actually want to behave differently and be holy. So right now is the time. We don't have no more time to get ready. As soon as you hear that word, you're not promised tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen the next second. You know, you don't know what's going to happen right now. You know, so get yourself right. Make yourself ready right now. It doesn't matter what you've done in life. It doesn't matter if you were a murderer, a thief, a liar. We've all been caught up in some things and done wrong and we were born in sin. You know, we all were born out of that same womb of sin. You know, and that's why Christ had to die on the cross in order for us to be redeemed and saved from that sin. So, set apartness is also how holiness is defined. That word sanctify, or separateness. When you are holy, that means you're different. That's why we call it a peculiar people. We're made new. Okay? I just want to let scripture teach today. I got a lot of scripture, and I don't have nothing against preaching, but I've been preached to pretty much all of my life. And I don't know about you, but to me, preaching is like a quick fix. It can be very instrumental, don't get me wrong, in leading people to Christ, or even providing motivation when needed. But I found that there is no comparison to being a student. Allowing the pure word of God to grab a hold of your mind as opposed to getting bits and pieces from someone else's diligent studies. So, if you will, get a pen, if you haven't yet, some paper, and let's hear from God. I'm going to be your Papa Murphy today, all right? So, you know, whoever don't know who Papa Murphy is, it's a pizza place where you take the pizza home and you bake it, you know. So I'm going to prepare the pie, put all the ingredients on it and everything, and I want you to take it home, and I want you to put it in the oven, and I want you to put it on 200. You know why 200? Because if you put it on 375 or 400, it's going to cook too fast. I want you to put it on 200 so that it will cook nice and slow, and you're going to get the most juiciest, tender word that you've ever experienced in your life. You got to take a part in your learning here. This is just not a message that I want you to hear and not be changed from. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. So Psalms 29:2. It says, ascribe. That word ascribe means give. Give to the Lord. It's a song of David. It says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. That word give. Give God his due. Give him glory and strength. Now you may ask, how am I to give God glory? How am I to give him strength? Doesn't he already possess all power? Doesn't he already own everything? Well, yes, and yes, and no. He's all powerful. He was all powerful. He's all knowing. He is all that he is. He told us, I am that I am. But he chose not to create a human being as a robotic type creature. That's why we see here in Psalms the exhortation to give God worship. A worship that he desires to and must be authentic and sincere. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. You have to think inside out on this one. You not literally giving him strength, but you allowing him through your humbling and your weakness to make you strong. Okay, so you're not making God strong or you're not giving him strength, but when you humble yourself and you allow God to come in and help you out and make you strong. That's where the strength comes from, to make you strong. So 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 reads, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And again, I just want to let the word teach. I really want you guys to take and look up these words. Infirmities, reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions. I can give you all kind of examples, you know, but I can't hit them all. But if you go into the word for yourself and you look in and you define these words and find out what these words actually mean, you'll find out that it's talking directly to you. Whatever situation you're going through, all of these words, they touch on everything that we can possibly be going through. And you'll be blessed as you participate again. The word beauty addresses the how-to. It means adornment, glory, a holy adornment of public worship, glory of the king, decoration, beauty, honor. So, being holy, okay? God wants us to decorate our worship. This is how we do it. This is, you want to know how to be holy? You say, "I can't be holy." Well, this is how you do it. You decorate it, you dress it up, not fakeness and not weirdness. Okay? But you have to go to the Word. And you have to go to the Holy Spirit. And you have to be sincere. And you have to ask Him, "How do I worship you?" Or you have to look at His holiness as a mirror. So that you can see your filthiness. And when you see your filthiness, you become humble. And when you become humble, you become desperate. And when you become desperate, you become sincere and honest in your worship and your praise. And it becomes decorative. It becomes adorning. It becomes beautiful. In the eyes of God, all those tears and sobs and all that kind of stuff, all on your face and your hair getting out of place and or whatever happened to you, it might not look good to me or to your neighbor, but to God is beautiful. Because you are in that place where you need to be and where He desires you to be and where He can be most effective in your life. Psalm 93:5. The Lord reigns. It reads, "The testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." Okay? So, this touches on the you part. You are holy. It says, holiness becometh thy house. What do we refer to ourselves as often? The body of Christ. So, if we are the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we want him to live in us, and we want to live in him, alright? We have to put on holiness. That's what becometh his house. That's what's befitting, or very fitting, or most fitting for the house of God, is a holy atmosphere. And he's not going to live in anything contrary to that. Isaiah 35 and 8. It reads, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not enter therein. Okay? So here, we see that holiness, this touches on the command of holiness. And this touches on the why part as well. Why should I be holy? I should be holy because it's a command of God, and there are consequences to me forfeiting, you know, my discipline and my willingness to become that new creature. Not being holy. Holiness is a highway. It's a path, it's a road by which we're going to get to that destination which I pray that we all want to get to. A lot of us will probably speak a little bit different outside of our necks sometimes, but when it's all said and done, I don't believe anybody wants to go to hell. I don't believe anybody wants to suffer eternal damnation. It's not God's will, and I don't believe it's your will. So confirm and be holy. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. This covers the how part. How do I become holy? Well, cleanse yourself from the filthiness that's covering you. Go take a bath. And then a shower. You know, and cleanse yourself. I'm not talking about in your bathtub or in your shower, of course, but I'm talking about in the Word of God. Go bathe in the Word. Spend some time in there. And you know how when that shower gets real hot, you just... My daughter was in the shower for over 30 minutes yesterday. I was like, it just keep going. The water just kept going. You know, the bill just kept going up. You know, but it was good to her. You know what I mean? So she was in there, and that steam was going, and, you know, mama started hollering into the bathroom. You've been in there too long. I'm getting ready to leave, and this and that, blah, blah, blah. But it was good. She was being cleansed, and that steam was going up her nostrils, going into her skin and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, all the dirt was washed away, and, you know, it was good. It's hard to explain, you know, but if you get into your Word, it's going to be good just like that. You get into that Word, and, you know, that Word is going to start to hit you, melt you down, comfort you, restore you, encourage you, teach you, lead you, guide you, and to all the knowledge that you need. He told us in Timothy, if any of you are lacking knowledge, ask and I give to you liberally. He's a God who doesn't upbraid. He doesn't hold back or withhold from you knowledge. and wisdom. He wants you to have all that knowledge and wisdom. He wants you to know how to be holy. Because that's his expectation. You know, what good would it be for me to tell you to do something and not show you how? All right? He's not that type of guy. To cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Okay? So, this should encourage us that holiness, again, is for us. It's for everyone. This is what we were called to. We were called to be holy. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Okay? And that just piggybacks on that highway of holiness. No man shall see the Lord. This is why. Why be holy? Because you're not going to see the Lord without being holy. Okay? And I don't want you to get sidetracked or discouraged because you fail or because you fall down. That's not it. That's not what I'm saying. And that's not what the Word is saying by being holy. It's not telling you that you are God. Because you are not God. You are a man. And He created you that way. And you have defects. But in Him is that perfecting power. Which if you stay in Him and you abide in Him, you will be nourished to the point to where you will be able to be holy. It's a process. But you have to be willing to take that step, that one step. You have to be willing to give up some things. You have to be willing to say no to your flesh and say yes to your spirit. You have to be willing to be weak. You have to be willing to say, I don't understand. I don't know it all. I told myself earlier that this week. I was like, man, you can call me retarded. I was talking to myself. I said, you can call me retarded. You can call me dumb. You can call me whatever, you know. But when I was just looking into the sky and looking at the greatness of God, and I was looking at the heavens and stuff like that, then I started thinking about, you know, just the heavens in general, you know what I mean, how that works, heavens, you know, all of the planets and the stars and, you know, angels and, you know, all the stuff that we hear that we don't necessarily see, I just don't understand it. I don't. You know, I'm sure many of you probably don't understand it, but guess what I do understand? I do understand that my spirit, man, is drawn unto Jesus. My spirit is drawn unto my Lord and Savior. And that's what I understand. That's all I need to understand, quite frankly. I don't need to understand all the rest of that stuff. And I can study until I drop. Until I'm 80 years old and 90 years old. And what's all that going to do if I still don't have a heart towards Christ? Right? So that's the important thing, is that you have a heart towards Christ and you are drawn to Him. That's the understanding that you need to get. 2 Peter 3:11-13. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. And For us that are members of the TLC, we remember this very clearly because our pastor has preached on this on many occasions. Holy conversation is not the words that are coming out of my mouth, but it's your mannerisms. It's the way you behave, the way you carry yourself. What manner of person ought you to be and how you carry yourself. You know? And this starts when you wake up in the morning. Right? I was listening to Fred Hammond yesterday, and he was talking about how thank you is just a proper way to carry yourself. Proper attitude to have all the time. When you open your eyes in the morning, thank you. When you sit up, thank you. When you turn over and put your feet out the bed, thank you. When you walk to the bathroom and brush your teeth, thank you. When you hop in the shower, thank you. When you sneeze, thank you. When you hurt, thank you. When you lose somebody, thank you. You know, and then this takes a reforming of the way that we think. A total reformation of how we think. You know, because we are selfish type people. You know, and we want everything our way. We don't want no hurt. We don't want no pain. We don't want to lose nobody. We want to cuss God out and talk about what kind of God he is or what kind of God would do this or allow us to go through this and allow us to go through that. See, we don't have the mind to understand God. Again, it's not meant for us to understand everything, but he does promise to give us a certain knowledge that will sustain us and that will keep us. And he knows how much knowledge we need. You know, if we get more than we need, guess what? Then we start doing things like building a Tower of Babel. Then we start doing things like creating other gods and images, which he told us not to do. We just start doing silly stuff, right? Because we don't know how to handle that knowledge. That's what we do. That's how we design when we get too much of what we too much of anything. We don't know how to handle it, and we break down. But in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening until the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Again, this touches on the how. That reformation of your mind and the action that you are to put forth in terms of your eyesight. Where are you looking to? Look to the heavens. Don't look to gain of money. Don't look to, you know, all of these plans that you got by the time you hit 50. You know, don't look towards your bucket list. Your bucket list ain't gonna save you. Okay? You keeping your eye on the spirit, you keeping your eye on the things of God, you keeping your eye toward the heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's what's going to keep you. That's what's going to lead you and guide you and keep you on that narrow road that is going to get you into the gate. 2 Peter 3:11. Well, I just read that. I had that in the ESV. Let's see. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 through 19. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And this just sums it up in a nutshell. This covers holiness is for everyone. Be ye holy. Why? Because I am holy. Be ye holy. Why? Because I am holy. And you represent me. I was just at work the other day, and when they was going through the morning meeting over the CB, and they had to mention media conduct. You know, you are responsible for who you like on Facebook. You are responsible for putting our name into the media. You are responsible for what you do, everything that you do in the media. Why? Because you are a reflection, you're a representation. If you're working for this specific company, you represent them, and some stiff consequences can come down on them and on you if you say the wrong thing, or if you do the wrong thing, or if you carry yourself the wrong way. And that's how God is. He's holy, and we've experienced it, and we've been a part of it, going out and misrepresenting Him. And we see the consequences that can befall us, or that have befallen us, when we go out and we misbehave. That's when we get people coming up talking bad about Christians. Why would I want to be a Christian? And Christians are so mean. Why would I want to be a Christian? And you guys behave this way. You carry yourself this way. Why should I believe in heaven? Why should I believe in a God who you say makes people new creatures, but He ain't made you new? Right? So, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the only way you're going to do that again, and I say it over and over again, is by getting in your word. You have to look at the Father. You have to have your eye on Him. There's a reason as to why a son looks so much like his father, or a daughter looks so much like her mother. They just don't necessarily look the same in the face. They're not like twins. But their mannerisms are just very similar, almost twin-like. The way they walk is almost twin-like. The way they talk, their speech, patterns, almost twin-like. Why? Because that daughter, that son is constantly looking every day at that parent. And they're modeling it. And they're learning it. This is what we got to do with God. We got to get in our word constantly. And we got to look at it every day. If you go too long without looking at your word, guess what? You're looking at something else, and you're going to end up modeling that and imitating that. And then you're going to call yourself this, but you're not going to be this. You're going to be that. So, folks, it's time to get serious. It's been time to get serious, but it's never too late to get serious. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth accordingly to a man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So here's the gospel. Here's the gospel message to you. You were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And now you are in debt. And this is why you ought to be holy. Because you owe God. You owe Him all of you. You owe Him your obedience. You owe Him your life. He owns you. And that's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing to be a slave of Christ. Paul's proud to say, I'm a slave. I'm a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he gave to me something that nobody else could. He gave to me something that somebody, no one else would. Who's going to die for you? Who's going to carry your cross and walk up to the mountaintop and have nails put in their body and their hands and their feet and a crown of thorns on their head and pierced in their side? Who's going to do that for you? I'm sure many of us that have friends we thought would die for us or not even die for us, but would jump in a fight with us when we was getting jumped. You know, that friend said, not today. I'm not messing up my makeup. Not today. I just got my hair cut. Not today. Right? But Jesus went all the way for you and me. And we owe him to be a holy people. Alright? So, I want to encourage you this morning, and I want you to really consider that holiness is for everyone. Holiness is for you. Alright? God bless you. I love you. And please share this message with all your family and your friends, Facebook, however you can. Right, share it. If you don't share it via social media, do your diligence at studying further in this word and share the gospel. Because you're a teacher too. You're a preacher too. Not just me, but we all, as members of the body of Christ, are teachers, are sharers of the word of God. All right? God bless you.